anybody been changed? I'm not talking about changing your clothes. I'm talking about actually changed on the inside. Because when you get the change on the inside, then the outside will show, because things will change in your life. You might lose some people. I know you don't want to hear that, but you actually might lose some people because of the change. You actually might gain some people because of the change. But you get to gain him because of that change. And it is a wonderful change that comes over you. You can't even explain it to most people because it's just continuous joy that is filled inside of you. The joy that you have, it's cliche to say the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away, but it's real, because the world can give you happiness through money, cars, clothes, women, men, but joy can only come from God. The joy that he gives to you makes you get up and say thank you. The joy that he gives to you when you hurt, it says thank you. The joy when he gives you, you says, I love you. Because that joy shows he was willing to die on Calvary even when no one else looked out for you. Because I can guarantee somebody you thought was looking out for you didn't have your best interest. But God said, I'm going to always have your best interest. So much so that I'm going to send my son down to give you a few examples of how you should live your life. So that when it comes time for you to complain, you can say, well, Jesus walked in my shoes. And then he said, I love you so much, I'm going to die and take up your sins. So you don't have to be bound to these shackles any longer, because you have Jesus who said, guess what, Corey? I'm going to take it away. I'm going to stand on this cross so you don't have to bear your cross. But when you bear your cross, you can make it, because I already did it.
That's right.
Now, I already said I thank you guys for coming out. And it is definitely a blessing to see all of you in the house of the Lord, because change has come over many of you. You don't have to say your change. You just have to walk in it. Because when God fixes you, what do you mean by fix? I'm not saying fix on the outside. He'll take care of that. I'm talking about fix on the inside, where you once yearned for drugs, you had no desire for them. I'm talking about a fix where you once yearned for women and men. Now you happy about yourself, and if somebody comes, okay. But if it don't, great. And I get excited to preach. When I was really little, I never thought I would be preaching. It just wasn't something that I thought God wanted me to do. He had blessed me with the ability to count and do numbers. And so I was like, that's what God wants me to do. But God said, Corey, I'm going to use you in some way that you have no idea. And he said, you just keep on going to church, even when your friends don't go. You just keep on reading my word, even when you don't want to, because I will take care of you no matter your situation. I've had my down days, I've had my up days, but through it all, Jesus has helped me through each and every one. And I don't say that to boast, but I do say that to give him praise, because many of you have been to a situation where you knew you couldn't have made it on your own. You knew that nobody but God was able to bring you through your situation. Because I know and I can attest that because of God, I'm able to get through situations. Because if I looked at Corey and said, we gonna do this, I'm gonna say, no, we not. But I know God has continued to help me. But my message today is family over everything. And if you're gonna text it, just put FOE, family over everything. If you get your Bibles out, your phones, your tablets, if it's in your heart and you know it by heart, that's great too. And if you don't have one, look at your neighbor to share with them, because we are family in Christ. And repeat after me, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
My life is the better.
My life is the better.
By hearing.
By hearing.
Reading.
Reading.
And doing.
The word of God.
Amen. And I want to thank the ushers for being diligent in their servitude. It's really noteworthy that among the family biographies that are talked about in the Bible, you ultimately will find dysfunction without exception. Most people want to tell you that the Bible is full of great stories, great outcomes. But if you truly read the word, and how many people in here read the word continuously? I'm going to be honest with you. On my phone, it just got a new update and it shows your screen time. And at the end of the week, it gives you an update on your screen time. And it shows the things that you have looked at. And I can be transparent. When it went to mine last week, I felt some type of way because the Bible was not number one on my phone. It was other things. That doesn't mean I didn't read the word. But when it came to my electrical devices, the Bible was somewhere at the bottom. And I felt some type of way because I said, dang, I be reading, but sometimes we get attacked by this world in so many ways that God starts here, but sometimes because of the things that we got going on, he starts to move down. That doesn't take away what he's doing in your life, but sometimes we get in the way. God is still working in your life, but don't allow those things that we yearn to do so well to get in the way of what you're doing it for. Because if you're doing it not for God, what are you doing it for? Now, if we look at the dysfunction that happened in the Bible, Adam and Eve messed up in paradise and their first son murdered their second son. Noah got drunk and naked in front of his sons. Abraham lied to his wife, Sarah, being his sister, allowing other men to walk off with her 2 times, not one, but 2. And had a child by his wife's maid, Hagar, at his wife's insistence. Job, a contemporary, a man that we say was after God's own heart, married a woman who said, curse God. Unevenly yoked. Jacob, the pathological deceiver, married Rachel, the kleptomaniac. Reuben, Jacob's eldest, slept with his father's mistress. Moses had a temper problem, his sister a jealousy problem, and his brother was weak-willed. Samson, a judge in Israel, he had more strength than Arnold Schwarzenegger, but was weak. Man, you can relate. Was weak around the woman.
Yep.
Now, why am I talking about all these dysfunctions when I'm talking about the Bible? Because I need you to understand, because it highlights God's willingness to work with imperfect families.
That's right. Imperfect. Right. You're right.
Now, if you are perfect and your family's perfect, I don't mean to be rude, but you can go ahead and leave because I don't have anything more to tell you. Because perfect people don't need help. Perfect people don't need God. And I'm just being honest with you. So if you're perfect and you don't got no flaws and God don't need to help you, there's really no point of you being here. But I'm going to be honest with you. If you're honest with yourself, and let alone if you're transparent, then you will know that you're imperfect in every way. Because there's only one perfect man. And if I can be honest, there are no perfect churches. Now, people will try to say they got the best church around. I say this. There are so many churches because people hear the word in different ways. People need a different person to hear. People need a different person to relate to. People need a different family to hold on to. So there are many churches. That doesn't make them perfect because they're different. It makes them imperfect, need God. The church is just for God to dwell in so that people can go out and share his word. Because it tells us in the Bible that we are to go out and share his word. The little ones this morning shared to you the name of Jesus in different languages. They shared it to you in Spanish. Corey, she don't hear me. Corey, how do you say Jesus in Spanish? Okay, how do you say it in French? And how do you do it in sign language? Make sure they can see you. Put your hands up so they can see you. So it don't matter what language you speak, the name Jesus has to be said. And the reason why I said that, because most people will tell you, I don't know what you're saying. Well, if you learn what they're talking about, you can speak about Jesus through your walk.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? If they don't know your language, they can definitely see. All right. So if you are walking how Jesus told you, you are saying his name. And so what most people will say, well, I don't really know the story of Jesus. That's good that you said that, because what I'm going to talk about today, actually, Elder Wells already talked about it in his testimony. He talked about the eunuch that was traveling along, and Philip came and he was talking to him. So when he started to speak, I said, dang, man, you always trying to talk about a message. Can you give me just a little piece of the pie so that I can have some for the people? But in the story, it talks about, and if you go with it, it's in Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to read it for you, beginning at verse 26, and that's Acts chapter 8. It says, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Right. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning seated in his carriage. He was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. And the passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears. He did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And he said, you can if you believe with all your heart. He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. In this story, we find Christ, because of his inner yearning of God's willingness to ability to send specific revelation through his word. So what happens in the story is Philip was told by God to go out. Well, a prophet came and told him, go out and talk to this eunuch. Now, a eunuch, if we're being honest, what is a eunuch? A eunuch is a man that had basically been castrated. Right. So when you think about it, a eunuch can't have family. There's some people in our lives, in our own family, who feel deserted. Or you might be that person who feels deserted from their family. This eunuch is walking around. Now, because he can't do that, it's just like a horse. A stallion is a horse that hasn't been tamed yet. And so what they do to calm a stallion down is they will castrate him. Because if not, and this is some science, if you don't castrate a stallion, he will always have that yearning to do something with his parts. And so when they cut him down, it is to calm him down. So they do these to these eunuchs to calm them down so they can do the work of man. Mm-hmm. Now, we live in a situation where man will try to calm us down so that we can be the work of them. If you look at our prison system, our school systems, they will put kids on all types of drugs to calm them down so they don't have to deal with them. Go into the school system. They give these ADHD, and I'm not saying that they're wrong, but they will say, this kid needs to be diagnosed with this, but yet they have no degree in psychiatry or any kind of doctor's degree to say that this kid needs this. Just because you don't want to deal with the kid, you're going to put him on situations and drugs so that he can just be kind of just sitting there.
Calm him down.
They calming him down so they don't have to deal with him. But see, when you serve Jesus Christ, I don't need you to calm me down. I need you to understand who's inside of me so that I can tell you about him. Yes, I am excited. Yes, it seems like I need to be calmed down. But I need you to know that if you get up out of here and don't know Jesus Christ, then guess what? You're going to need to be watered down because you are going to be burning forever. Now, the eunuch is walking around aimlessly because he begins to read the word. And he is starting to feel what's going on, but he really doesn't understand it. All he knows is, I don't got no family, and I don't really understand what's going on in this book because nobody has ever told me. We live in a society where people are saying, I don't have anybody that has shared the word with me, so I don't really know who Jesus is. Are you that person that a person has interacted with and you haven't shared the word with them because If so, we have to look at our life. If we say family over everything, that means every person in your life, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, is family. Yes. What do I mean? Well, if they've accepted Jesus Christ, they're family. Uh-huh. And you say, well, no, but look at Jesus. Jesus actually, if you were listening to the scripture that Elder Wells read, he said that the people came and they said, your mother and your brothers are here for you. Mm-hmm. He said, but who are my mothers and brothers? They're here, those who believe in me. Yes, yes. So actually, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, then yet you are not in the family yet. But we serve a God who says, I'm not closing my doors off to this family, but we live in a society that says, well, you're not part of my family, so I really can't talk to you. I really can't communicate with you. You don't look like me. You're not in my DNA, so I really can't share with you.
All right.
But the Bible begs to differ, because if you're a part of God's family, then you want to share with them. You want to go to them and say, hey, I know you don't know the word of God, but I'm here to help you. I'm here to explain this to you so that you can get an understanding. It's not going to be because of me, but because of who I live to be. Now, the eunuch is awesome because he's supposed to be calm because he's been castrated. He's supposed to just go about what people say, but yet he's reading the Bible. We have access to the Bible now and we don't read it. You know, there are people in Muslim communities who are trying to convert to Christianity who are spending their life savings just to hold a Bible, which to them is contraband. But we have access to the Bible easily. We can go on our phones. We can go anywhere and pick up the Bible and read it. But yet somehow we can't seem to find it. Somehow we haven't spoken about the Bible to anyone. If you walk up to somebody that you see every day, do they know what your life is like? Do they know who you follow? Do they know whose family you are a part of? Because now people, when you look like somebody in your family, they say, that's Vicky's boy. That's Jerry's son. That's Elder Strayhorn's grandson. Because you're acting how they have taught you to act. Now, it could be the other way. They could say, oh, here comes them Johnson kids. We don't want no part of them. Because you're acting who your parents are. How can you say that? Well, let's be clear. If you're not going to parent your children, they're going to act like you're not parenting them. And let's be real. If they're acting like you're not parenting them, guess who's dealing with them? Hopefully the school system, but ultimately it will be the penal system. Yeah. And when they get a hold of them, they're going to put them on some drugs. And they will get a whole different kind of family. Mm. Now, they will say, here comes those Johnson children. What kind of children are coming? Are they coming followers of Jesus Christ, or are they coming followers of Corey Johnson? I don't care if they follow me, but if I'm following Jesus Christ, ultimately they should be following him. Now, when you say family over everything, I don't mean that you just drop everything and do anything for your family. You got to be smart about it. But what I am saying is family over everything, that should mean nobody in your family shouldn't know who Jesus Christ is. If you want to go to heaven, then there shouldn't be any reason, since you love your family, that you don't want them to go. There should be no reason why anybody that you come into contact with should want to go to hell. Now, people are going to make their own decision. Let's be honest about that. But it is your decision to share with them. It is your decision not to share with them. Because we go everywhere and we say anything. We might talk about the latest shoes. We might talk about the nice women and men that we see. But do we talk about Jesus Christ, who people really and ultimately need? That's my challenge to you. Forget all that other stuff that you're telling people about. The first thing that has to come out of your mouth, or the first step you take, has to be Jesus Christ. Because if your family sees Jesus Christ in you, they will see the change. And maybe, just maybe, because of the change they see in you, they might want to have a change in them. Yes. And the change in them will start to be a domino effect. I honestly and truly believe that each one of us can change the world. Because guess what? There's a thing called 6 degrees of separation. So if you know 6 people and they know 6 people, eventually we have touched the whole world. So if I share the gospel of Jesus Christ with 6 people, and then they share with 6 people. And then they share with 6 people. Jesus Christ has now been around the world. And then it might come back to you because somebody you didn't even know shared it with you. Because maybe your walk wasn't as strong as you thought it was. And they thought maybe you don't know Jesus Christ. Or maybe they just wanted to tell you because they love Jesus so much. They have to let this light out that's inside of them. Family over everything. Jesus Christ over everything, because he ultimately is the father of the family. So he over everything. it is important to talk about when it comes to family. The eunuch men were men who were great leaders in the community. They made them become like treasurers and things like that. So they were leaders in the community, but yet they were outcasts. You might be in your family where you're smart, you do a lot of things, and you know, you take care of people, but you tell your family no. And now they begin to outcast you because you said no. When you tell somebody no, it seems like the hardest, the worst thing you have said to them. Because what happens is your family asks you for something and you help them the first time. You help them the second time. The third time you say, I'm not going to be able to help you. Now you're the worst person that they know. So then they go tell your cousin, who then says, you haven't done anything to them. Now they're talking about you. Then everybody else is talking about you. So now you're pushed away out of the family and you feel like you don't have a family anymore. The eunuch doesn't have a family because he can't reproduce it. Ultimately, that's what he wants to do, is reproduce and have his own family. But because he's been castrated, he can't do that. But he also finds a man who says, do you know what you're reading? He said, how can I understand if nobody's here to teach me? So he said, guess what? I'm going to teach you about Jesus Christ. And as soon as he taught him about Jesus Christ, he said, well, we up to the water. Can I be baptized? And did he wait? No, he baptized him right there at the water. Ultimately, we're getting around people that are saying, can I know the word? And you're saying, no, we got to wait till school's over. No, we got to wait till work is over. But you guys know we live in a society where you might not make it till work is over. You might get killed at work. You might get killed at school. So why wait? What are you waiting for to share Jesus Christ with somebody? Is there a person that you're waiting on? Are you bypassing people that are missing Jesus Christ to get to that one person you feel like needs it the most? Are you waiting for time to go? Are you waiting for somebody to come to you and say, I need Jesus? Then you can share because you feel comfortable then. We can't wait any longer because there are people dying as we speak who don't know Jesus Christ and they're going to hell.
Amen.
You can live a great life and be just like a saint. But guess what? If you haven't shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, it does not matter. Because what good are you if you keep Jesus Christ to yourself? People are dying without him and you had the opportunity to share. That's backwards. Because he decided before he even knew you that he was going to die for your sins. This is a single man who never had family. If you think about that, everybody in here has. Is there anybody in here who doesn't have any family? None at all. By no show of hands, I would guess somebody has somebody that's connected to them. So we don't understand his plight. We think we do, but his plight is, I don't have anybody connected to me. I need somebody to help me out. I need somebody to share the word of Jesus with me because I want to be a part of a family. Mm-hmm. And Philip had the opportunity to just say, well, God, I know you told me to move, but I'm going to go the other way because I don't want to share with him because for what? He's a eunuch. He's going to be by himself. Why would I share Jesus Christ with him? He's on drugs. Why would I talk to him? He's addicted to alcohol. Why would I talk to him? He's a womanizer. Why would I be associated with him? I don't want people to think I'm a womanizer, so I don't need to associate with him. She's a prostitute. Why would I help her? He's a felon. Why would I go help him? Jesus said, I don't care what they look like because you got your own demons inside of you that I'm helping you with, so you go talk to them. Now, you may think you high and mighty because you started to read the Bible and you've accepted Jesus Christ and you feel like you got something going on. But guess what? In the deep, dark closets of your house, there are some things that you don't want people to know about. There are some things that people think you got together, but you really don't. So guess what? There are some things that you need to share with people, but because you're so high and mighty, you're doing no good to nobody. We as Christians think we're great because we know Jesus Christ. I wouldn't say that we're great. We just have fell down and we have the ability to get back up because of Jesus Christ. Now, somebody who doesn't know him falls down and might not get back up. But it is our decision to help them up. I'm not saying that you're going to help them walk, but you can help them get up and show them how to walk. And then Jesus Christ will help them take the steps. But it is our goal that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ because there are people who say,
I'm reading this Bible. I'm reading the same thing over and over, and I have no idea what I'm reading. But that's not my fault. I have the desire, but nobody's explaining it. So we are to come and say, hey, I can explain this to you. Jesus will help you understand it. So once he understands, he says, well, let me be baptized right now. Let me just go and do it. And what happens next is after he's baptized, Philip is gone. So now that you have done your part, Jesus will take care of the rest. So now that you've shared with your family member, you don't need to try and save them. You don't need to try to take the bottle away. You don't need to try to take the drugs away. Jesus will take that stuff away.
Amen.
Jesus will bring about the change. That's where our fault is. We think that once we share Jesus with them, now we have to be Jesus and take the bottle away and take the drugs away and take the women away and take this and do that and change them. But guess what? You can't change nobody if you're being real.
That's right. That's
I cannot change any person. Even my children, I can make suggestions. I can try to put them in good places to make the right decisions. But ultimately, they're going to do what they're going to do. And so all I can do is be an example and hope and pray that they do the right thing. And as Christians, all we can really do is share the gospel and hope and pray that they do the right thing. Because now that they've accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are part of the family. And as your family member, all you got to do is encourage them each and every day. Sometimes to send them a text with the word of God in it so that they can read it and they might apply it later. Sometimes it's saying a prayer for them from a distance, because every family member, you might not be able to be around all the time because you haven't broken away from some of the shackles that are holding you back. So if you got a family member that you share Jesus Christ with and they're addicted to alcoholism and you ain't really broke away from that, you really can't be around them just yet. Because you haven't truly been broken away from it completely. So you going around them may take you back to it.
That's right.
So all you have to do is pray for them and say, hey, I'm with you, but I can't be with you. We don't have to be afraid to step away from our family members sometimes. We are connected through Jesus Christ. So even if you're not there with them physically, we are all there in spirit. Not one person anywhere can be left without the love of God. The good news about Jesus Christ is not just for the Jews. It's for everyone. Because he said, go out to everyone and proclaim the good news to everyone. So it's not just for the Christian. It's not just for me and you in this church. It's for the Muslim that wants to break away from those chains. It's for the Buddhist that wants to break away from those chains. It's even for the Catholic that says, well, my parents going to pray me in, I'm going to be all right. Because some people believe that when a person dies, they going to give to the church and they going to get, their sibling is going to get in because of what they're able to pay. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not enough money in the world to pay some people in, me included, into heaven. Because you think about some of the stuff that you've done, we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve to live, if we're being honest. But God said, you will live and not die. I'm going to take care of you and supply. So if we serve him, he'll take care of it. All of us know that we've been through a situation in our life where we shouldn't have made it, where we shouldn't be standing. But God said, guess what? I'll be your crutch. I'll be your chair when you can't stand up. Go ahead and sit down for it. Rest in me. Because he said, My yoke, I got it. Don't worry, Corey. You can't handle this situation, but I'm going to take care of it for you. So when you get to another situation, you have enough faith to believe that I can do it.
Yeah.
Because he has to give us faith each and every time he does something. He gives you a little bit each time, because you may start with a mustard seed of how much God can do.
My Lord.
But as he does more in your life, and as you see him doing it in others' life, yeah, it grows and grows and grows. And then everything you do is on faith. So even when you walk and you can't see, it's by faith. Sister Kim said she's been waiting to get on this list. Not only did she get on the list, but she's towards the top of the list.
Yeah.
See, that's God working, because you have faith to believe that what he said you will be healed from. So you just walk in faith.
Yeah.
because these eyes will play tricks on you. These eyes will say, I'm sick, I'm hurting, I'm never going to get on this list. So I'm just going to prepare to die. But when you believe in Jesus Christ, you say, get thee behind Satan. Because even Jesus had to say to his own men, get thee behind Satan. Get out of here, devil, because I don't believe what you're saying to me. The doubt that you're putting inside of me is nothing but the devil. And so I'm going to cast you out so that I can continue to have the faith in Jesus Christ. The book of Acts says in verses 7 and 8, this is what he was reading of Isaiah. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears. He did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants. The scripture the eunuch can now identify with because he feels the same way. He feels that he's been cast out. He's about to die and nobody's going to care because he has no family. But because he got baptized, because he wanted to know the word, because he's now a part of Jesus' family, somebody cares about him. Even if it's nobody here on this earth, he has a Lord who said, I care about you. I'm going to send somebody on my behalf to speak to you and let you know that I'm real so that you can believe, so that you can be baptized. But guess what? Even if he didn't get baptized, as long as he believed in his heart, he was still in. Don't think if you don't get baptized, you're not making it in. But guess what? You're still going to get in because if we've got a water shortage, you can't be baptized. Just like our own families, Christ's family is an odd family made up of criminals, thieves, demon-possessed individuals like Mary Magdalene, the poor, the lame, the crippled, and many more. And now a eunuch was added to the family. After he was baptized, Philip was gone. Gone to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So after you help one person, don't stop there. Keep it moving. Keep going to share the gospel. Keep going to talk to that family member that's hard-headed. Keep going because you was once hard-headed. Keep going and talk to that prostitute. Keep going and talk to that drunk. Keep going to talk to that homeless person. Keep going to talk to those people in your house, in your job, at your school. Because somebody doesn't know the word and we got to share it with them. You might as well tell everybody to sing your song and rejoice with you because no matter where I'm at or who I'm with, I got to tell them about Jesus Christ. Yes. So if you can't beat me, you might as well join me. If you don't love me, you might hate me, but guess what? I serve a God who loves me more than your hate. I serve a God who's going to love me in spite of what I do. So even if you don't like me, I still got my family. Even when I'm going through hurting times, I still got family. Jesus said, anyone who does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. Other people may have done things to mar and scar you. You may be the victim of verbal or physical abuse. Your parents, your spouse, your children, your family may have deserted you. You may have had addiction, criminal activity ruin you. But no one can keep you from becoming a part of God's family. So in everything that you do, say, or think, family, when you accept Jesus Christ, family over everything.
Amen. That's all right.
Now, at this time, we will have our invitation. The invitation can be a few things. It can be to join God's family, which allows you to have family. It can be to join our church. It can be to make that change because you weren't really sure who Jesus Christ was. But I don't want anyone to leave out of here not accepting Jesus Christ because they didn't know the word. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whether you accept him today or tomorrow,
He's still going to run to you and accept you in the family. But as I always say, tomorrow will happen. But will you be present when tomorrow happens? So don't let another minute go by and not be a part of the family. Because you don't have to wonder like the eunuch anymore about where my family is, because Jesus is here with open arms. So as the choir sings, I want you to think about if you don't have a family. Come. And if you're afraid to take that walk, I'll take it with you. I'll meet you and walk with you. Because don't be afraid, because we all were sheep who were lost. And we found Jesus, so now we know which way to go.